Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of you are old enough to remember the late night talk show host named Johnny Carson. Somewhere in his career, he got popular enough that he could start taking a day off every week. He would only do his show four nights, and then on Friday night, you would get the best of Carson, an old rerun of a past episode. Well, I don't know tonight if you're getting the best of anything, but you are getting a rerun of a sermon I preached to you in 2020. March of 2020 was just before COVID really hit and we started not having worship in person. If you remember the sermon and all the illustrations, I congratulate you. You are an excellent listener. And you have my permission to doze off at any time. However, there will be extra credit if you listen carefully enough to catch the changes I made this morning. Pastor called me about 10 o'clock this morning and said, I've tested positive for COVID. I'm not sure what we can do. And we talked about it a bit, and this seemed like the best short-term solution. So, in Exodus, we find these words. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land and the Lord your God, in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Here ends the text. We are in the season of Lent, 40 days plus 6 Sundays, when we spend time looking at the cross of Jesus Christ. We try to spend some extra time thinking about the love of God and what he did for us in giving us his son. We spend some time pondering the cross and what it means for us. We didn't earn it. We could not deserve it, but God freely chose to punish his son in our place. With love beyond all understanding, God the Father sent his son to be our Savior. So we spend the season of Lent repenting of our sin and thanking and praising God for the great good news of salvation. And then we ask ourselves, how do we respond to God's great love? To do that, we need to know what God says about how we are to live our lives. So tonight, we're going to spend a little time in the Ten Commandments in the law of God. Way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fell into sin when they broke the first commandment. They were told not to eat of the tree that was in the middle of the garden, but they chose not to obey God and put him first in life. In Genesis, we read about the subtle way that the serpent came to them, that Satan came to them to tempt them, tempted and confused them. Since the fall into sin, all mankind has been sinful. We struggle with sin every day of our lives. But our loving God did not forsake us. Already then, he promised that one day a Messiah would come, that one of Eve's descendants would be their Savior. And so we have to find a way to resist the way of the world. Try to resist the way the world would lead us and do what God wants. To do that tonight, we're going to look at the Ten Commandments. Did you hear what I just said? The Ten Commandments. They are not the 10 suggestions. They are not the 10, well, I'd like you to think about it a little bit and consider it and get back to me whether or not they're worth you following. They're not the 10 let's think about it. God doesn't say, oh, well, excuse me, but if it isn't too much trouble, would you consider these? No. The 10 commandments. God, through Moses, gave us the 10 commandments. We are to listen. We are to understand, and we are strive to obey. Back in your catechism days, you were taught the three uses of the law. The first use of the law is like a curb on the side of the road. If you're driving your car, you bump up against the curb, you say, uh-oh, I'm getting off track here. You're headed for trouble. I need to make a correction. The Catechism says of the first use of the law, A, first the law helps control violent outbursts of sin and keeps order in the world. We need laws. Think for a minute about driving around Lexington if there were no traffic laws. You could go as fast as you wanted or as slow as you wanted. You could drive on that side of the road or this side of the road. You didn't have to stop for stop lights or stop signs. It would be chaos, and before long, no one would be able to drive safely. The first use of the law is to give some order and direction and control in our earthly lives. The second use of the law is like a mirror. We look at the law of God, and it shows us our sin. The Catechism put it this way. B, the law accuses us and shows us our sin. The book of Romans says, through the law we became conscious of our sin. In my former congregation in California, I had an older couple start to worship with us. And they liked the people, and they liked me a little bit, and they decided they wanted to join the church. And so they started in my adult instruction class, and they faithfully came, and they worshiped every Sunday. A few weeks in, about after we had been talking about the Ten Commandments in adult instruction, she said this to me, Pastor Mark, we've come to the conclusion that we have not really been Christians up to this point in our life. She went on to explain that although they had been in church most of their lives, they had never heard law and gospel, sin and grace. They had had this feeling that they were decent people and somehow they were going to be okay with God because they tried hard. But in our worship and in the class looking at what the Ten Commandments said, they heard things like, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They heard, there's no one righteous, no, not one. They heard, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own doing, it's the gift of God. In talking about the Ten Commandments, they came to see that they were sinful people in need of a Savior. So the Ten Commandments are a curb to stop us from coarse outbreaks of sin. They're a mirror to show us our sin. But the law also has a third use. A use, Luther would say, is more relevant for you and me. For example, you already know that you're a sinner. You've heard it all your life in the Lutheran Church. You know that you need to repent. You know that the law says you have not been all that God wants you to be. So how do the commandments help us who already know those first two things? Here's where the third use of the law comes into effect. The third use of the law is like a guide, or as I sometimes said in class, a ruler. The Catechism says this, C, the law teaches Christians what we should and should not do to lead a God-pleasing life. Let me illustrate it this way. Suppose I gave you a long piece of paper, and I said, I would like for you to draw me a perfectly straight line, exactly 36 inches long. Anybody think they could be dead on? But what if I gave you a yardstick? If you're like me, it still wouldn't be perfect, but it'd be a lot closer if I tried to stay with that guide. If you look at the law of God and the Ten Commandments, then you have a guide and a measuring stick. You can say, how am I doing in relationship to what God says about my life? We know what God expects of us as Christians as we try to be examples out in the world. And so we walk as close to God's guidelines as we can. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods. I learned it, you shall have no other gods before me. Do you remember the explanation? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. What does it mean to fear God? Once you imagine you're out on a hike out in the country and you come to a large chain link fence. And on this fence are all kinds of signs that say, danger, keep out, warning, do not enter, 50,000 volts. And on the other side of the fence, you see the electric towers. Here's my question. Do you need to fear the danger of those 50,000 volts? Kind of depends, doesn't it? If you climb the fence and start climbing on the tower, yeah, you might get fried. But if you're wise and you obey the law, so to speak, and stay outside the fence, you don't really have any fear of that voltage. We are to fear God in the same sense. Not to be afraid of God, but to have respect for his awe and his majesty and his power. If we are seeking to obey God, if we are walking on a path of God's people, repenting and turning back to God, we don't need to fear a God who will punish, because we know he has sent a Savior to pay the price of sin. But if we are not striving to follow God's word, if we have other gods in that our time and treasure and talent are devoted to other things, then we can be lost and condemned without forgiveness and love. Part of the problem, part of the reason I think we struggle with the law of God, with the Ten Commandments, is that people look at God's law in the wrong way. The world seems to think God is like this. He sort of looks down from heaven over the edge and says, "Oh, that looks like fun. I'm not going to let him do that. That'll be number 6. But that isn't what God is doing. As grandparents, as parents, don't we have laws, rules for our children? Would I allow my 3-year-old grandson to play with a big butcher knife? No, I'd say you can't do that. Why? Because I don't want him to have fun whacking on things? No, I don't want him to get cut. I don't want him to get hurt. We want to protect him. Why are our children in car seats and seat belts? We want them protected if there would be an accident. We need to think of God's law as a code of protection instead of a straitjacket. When I was in the Army Reserve, I went several times to Fort Benning, Georgia, and it seemed we always went in July or August. And if you've been to Fort Benning, Georgia in July and August, you know it's hot and it's humid and there are chiggers. It was always that way. And in those days, our helmets were called steel pots. They were old, heavy, and hot. Now, the rule was, when you're out in the field, you keep your helmet on. But it was heavy, and it was hot, and I seemed to have an awful lot of time where I had to be adjusting my straps and just about to put it back on if anybody looked at me. But if I were a soldier in the Ukraine tonight, I don't think with real bullets and with rockets being launched that you would have to tell me to keep my helmet on. Well, at this point, we have a problem. We're supposed to talk about the Ten Commandments, but you could preach multiple sermons, I think Pastor Witten will agree with me, on every one of the commandments. And we don't have time to do that. So let's go to the summary. The first 3 commandments talk about our relationship to God. You shall have no other gods. Don't take God's name in vain. Worship him on the Sabbath day. Here's how Jesus summarized it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Only 19 words, but that's a powerful sentence. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I wish I could make it easier for you, but this is what you are commanded to do. To put God first in your life. To honor him as a God of love and forgiveness. We won't succeed, but that's our goal. To love God with our whole being. Yes, we need to take care of our families. Yes, most of us have to go to work. Yes, the children have to go to school and high school. Yes, the world is telling us the Bible is no longer relevant. The world is telling us that the morals that we held as children are no longer valid morals, that we need to change and that they don't apply anymore. But God still wants to be at the center of our lives. Commandments 1-3 say, put God first and honor him. They're about our relationship to him. Commandments 4-10 are about our relationships to other people. And Jesus put it this way, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The way we obey the second table of the law is to serve others with our lives. honoring our parents, not hurting or harming our neighbor, being faithful in our marriage, being honest in our financial dealings, not being a gossip, not being envious of others to the point that we're willing to do something wrong. God uses these commandments to guide us in how we deal with others, to give us a guide for how we should live our lives. In various sermons, Pastor Huebner has helped us in thinking about Christian living and reminded us how difficult it is to truly live as a Christian, to fulfill our roles, such as spouse and parents. Difficult to love enough, to guide and direct enough. Difficult to treat each other the way God commands us to treat each other. Difficult to be responsible enough to do what we're supposed to do. Well, the catechism question asks, what is the summary of the commandments? And the answer is love is the summary of all the commandments. Love. Lent is reminding ourselves that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. During Lent, we picture Jesus being struck by the soldiers, being spit upon, being whipped, beaten. We picture the long walk to Calvary when he struggled to carry his own cross and fell under the weight of it. And then we see him hanging on the cross and see the suffering that he went through for you and for me. That's what Lent is all about, but Lent is also about love. It's peeking ahead and seeing the empty tomb and remembering that Jesus rose victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil, and that right now at this moment he lives and reigns and rules. It's hearing the message of the angel. He is not here. He has arisen, just as he said. Good people, God loves you. Loves you with a love beyond all human understanding. So let us rejoice in this great good news, even as we spend the weeks of Lent pondering what Jesus did for us. God wants you in heaven. God wants you to be with him for all eternity. And in love, he gives you his law, not to restrict you, but to guide and direct you and help you on the path to eternal life. So let us truly strive to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Amen. We continue with the hymn, On My Heart Imprint Your Image.